from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Ty Windus joining us now on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Ty, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it on this brand spiffy new show, man. I love it.
It is spiffy new and trying to spread the word. So hopefully we can get that done and try and get 1250 back up like it was back in the day. Follow Ty on Twitter at T.I. Windish. Ty is in T.I. Windish. And if you've not checked out his podcast, it's a Bucks podcast. It's one of the best Bucks podcasts out there. Enjoy it thoroughly, and you will hear Ty Windish on the show quite a bit kind of going forward, especially once we get to Bucks season. We'll talk about some of his other podcasts that he has as well outside of the Bucks, so we'll do that in just a little bit. Ty, I was talking before you came on about a Gary Wolfel tweet from WolfelsPressBox.com that because Gary Wolfel tweeted out, everybody gets up in arms and goes nuts. And the tweet was, I recently chatted with a few NBA sources since ex-Lakers head coach Darvin Ham joined the Bucks staff. They were adamant in saying Giannis had major input in Ham's hiring. Some of those same sources also contend Ham, who had offers from several other teams, took the Bucks job with the assumption he'll eventually succeed Doc Rivers as the Bucks head coach. I don't think there's anything outlandish with that. I think all of that makes a bunch of logical sense to me, Ty Windish. What say you?
I think all of it makes a lot of logical sense. I, the succession plan of it is the part where I'm like, I don't know. I mean, there's so much time. I mean, Doc has, I think, 3 full seasons left on his contract.
But think about it. Lillard won't be here. Brooke won't be here. Middleton probably won't be here. The basis of this whole team by the time Doc is done is going to be completely different by that point.
No, 100% true. And it's not that, you know, I don't think Darvin would be good for it or anything like that. More so, you know, I just think that's a long way to plan away in NBA terms, and that could be the idea now. I just would say, you know, I don't think that's, like, cemented in stone that would for sure be the case.
Sure.
But I think overall the rest of it makes sense. And, you know, Ham, I mean, certainly with Doc, he would already basically, you know, maybe not retired, but quasi-retired ones had to get dragged out of it. So there's certainly a chance that, you know, Ham understands Doc isn't looking to coach for, you know, 10 years in Milwaukee or anything like that, and thinks that, you know, if they can get the ship righted, he could then be the next one in line. But I just think around the league, you know, we've seen that work out. We've seen that haven't work out, those kind of plans. But otherwise, I think it makes sense as a concept for sure.
I'd like to get your thoughts on this. If you were given the opportunity to make the hire, because I'm not quite sure Doc did have how much say he really had in all this other than say, sure, whatever, I don't care, I'm old, I'm done, who cares, hire who you want. But if you were given the opportunity, which one would you rather have on your staff? Darvin Ham or Jeff Van Gundy?
Oh, man. Honestly, I think the role Darvin has in kind of being the bridge between the existing players and the coaching staff, or at least what he did for Bud, it made so much sense to me that he came back to kind of be that again and make sure that everyone's on the same page throughout this, you know, latter half of this transition, not half, but latter part of this transition from, you know, Bud to Griffin to Doc and adding new players and everything. Like, I think the familiarity will be huge for Giannis and the rest of the players who have been around since the Bud days, which, you know, isn't that long ago, but there has been, you know, a bit of turnover since then. I think Jeff Van Gundy is a great coach, but I think for the familiarity reasons and everything, I'm happy with Darvin versus Van Gundy, although I think he would have been a great add. I think Sam Cassell would have been or would be. I mean, apparently they're still trying to do that, so which I think is wild considering how many coaches are already on staff. I wonder if we're going to get more news about, you know, changes to the existing staff, but it sure sounds like Doc and the Bucks are eager to try to really load up this bench.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing that I'm interested in as far as this bench. You have a first-round pick. You have a second-round pick. I think both you can get two quality players. I think one is a big. I think one is a wing. And that also works. In that Journal Sentinel article today, we talked about it before you came on. They hire a skills guy that, you know, has worked with Jason Tatum forever. Doc had him working with Embiid and Maxey. Obviously, that worked out. So now he's got him over in Greece working with Giannis and all the young dudes. Beauchamp and Andre Jackson and Livingston. All those cats are over there with Giannis working out with this dude. And that's all fine and dandy. But I just don't know if they're going to be willing and able to add two more young guys to what they already have and feel like they're in a good position to win a championship next year, Ty.
Well, I think your premise is right. I think it'll be really interesting to see if they use both picks, if they, you know, maneuver around and end up picking once, and if there is some maneuvering around or if they really like two young players, I think there's a chance that one of the existing young players could end up being on the move somewhere else. Because I do think as much as the Bucks could use more youth in the rotation, I also don't think you want half of the roster to be players who realistically at this point have not proven that they can be every night productive plus NBA role players. I think we all feel really good about Andre Jackson Jr. We all feel really good about AJ Green, who had a huge come up last season. I think in the eyes of really everyone, it proved that he should be talked about as one of these premier young guys. But you know, we haven't seen it on a consistent night-by-night basis for a whole regular season. So I do think there's going to be more vets brought in, and I do wonder about, you know, what's the critical mass of young guys. But on the other hand, I mean, you know, those players maybe just didn't have the opportunities, but I don't think there's anything wrong with some more competition, too, and maybe you have a bunch of youngs for September. But I do think, you know, you have to turn over every stone and be aggressive in just adding more good players. You know, I think that's one of the lessons from the Celtics. I thought it felt, you know, superfluous when they added Xavier Tillman. I was like, I don't know if that's going to be necessary. You know, Nemias Kita is okay. Luke Kornet's okay. And Tillman ended up being important for them when Porzingis went down. So I think, you know, you can't do too much in trying to add good players, whether they're young or old. So I don't think the Bucks can't draft two players. I just think, you know, it would probably take a little bit of shuffling of their existing guys.
Let's talk about a couple of guys that I really, really like, that I have my eyes on, and I'm sure a lot of Bucks fans do as well. ESPN's mock draft, the latest one that they did, they have the Bucks at 23 taking Khalil Ware from Indiana. Now, depending on the mock draft you look at, some of these, he's not even there at 23 for them to take. I love him. A guy that can block shots, rebound, spread the floor, knock down the three. Big fan. Do you like Khalil Ware? Are you in on him?
Yeah, he's one of my favorite three prospects, and I'd be thrilled if they took him with their first pick. I think it's like probably the cleanest and most ready-made pathway the Bucks have had since they first got Brook Lopez to finding a true Brook Lopez successor.
Yep.
And not a moment too soon with Brook, you know, coming in the last year of his new deal and, you know, 35, 36 years old now. So it really is time to figure that out one of these days.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
As you mentioned, true size. He's almost 7 feet tall, 7'4" wingspan, has a good looking jumper, moves well, block shots. I think there's some kind of just like motor and consistency concerns, but if you're the Bucks, you have all these long time, you know, great presence vets on your team, you've got to feel good about taking that bet. So I would be thrilled if they drafted Ware.
I don't see how that motor doesn't pick up playing with Giannis on a day-to-day basis.
Exactly.
I can't see Giannis allowing you to loaf. I don't see that happening. The other guy that I really like, you know, I like him more now that the rape allegations are gone, is Terrence Shannon Jr., the wing from Illinois. Now, prior to the verdict coming on this, every mock draft I saw, he was in the second round. Now he's cleared, which is good. And now here on the ESPN one, they have him going 4 picks later to Minnesota as well. Your thoughts on Terrence Shannon Jr.?
I haven't dug into him as much just because he was so much lower. I was thinking about him more as a second round guy. I'm not totally sold that he would be my pick. I really want bigger player. Is he like around 6'5 or so, if I recall correctly?
Yeah, he's a shooting guard, small forward. I think he is, let me look here, 6'6", 225, according to ESPN.
Okay. Not bad. But I've been looking more at the bigger players in the draft and just, you know, watching these playoffs and knowing you have Lillard at the one. I really want, you know, larger players, athletes who can make up for that with the rebounding on the defensive end. Like we saw Andre Jackson did a little bit, and, you know, the struggles we've seen in this past season with like Beasley and Lillard, for example. So I am not totally sold on him yet in the first round. I will say in that ESPN mock, they ended up picking up Tyler Smith with their second-round pick, which I think is a knockout. I mean, he's a raw player. There's a lot of developing to do, but another true-size, true shooter, in my opinion, which I don't know if you can take enough swings on those guys, especially when you have your franchise player is not giving you the most spacing, of course, in terms of Giannis from three.
You pretty much answered my next question, which I was setting you up for, which is between Ware and a shooting guard wing, because Shannon can defend for sure, more of a scorer than maybe a shooter necessarily at the end of the day. I like Shannon a lot, and if Beasley is not coming back, which I don't think he is because he's going to get more money than what the Bucks can probably pay him, you're going to have to fill that two-guard position, and like you said, you need length next to Damian Lillard for certain to help defend. So whoever that is at that shooting guard position has to be somebody that can defend. Somebody has to be athletic. And I would love for it to be somebody to score too, if at all possible. But you have the aging Brooke Lopez and you have to figure that out. So where is the bigger need?
I think the bigger need is the two guard. I mean, I think you can get creative and plug and play lineups with any wing player in there with Chris and Giannis and play more with Giannis at the five. And I think Brooke should still be a good player this next season. If there's not a trade, if he's not moved on from, like, you know, you have a center who you know can play well with this team, right? That doesn't exist at the two guard. And maybe, you know, maybe you're a big Andre Jackson believer.
No.
A Green believer.
No.
You know, whatever. Maybe you are. I think the most likely option is, you know, I think they take Ware if he's there. I think with your second round pick, with undrafted slots, with free agents, and maybe with other trades, then you just try and basically do what you did last year, which is make it a competition. Who's going to win that job? And I think Beasley won it pretty easily. I think we thought there would be more of a true competition, and there wasn't. But I think now you bring in the kind of players who complement Dame. Because remember, they built this roster to have Drew at point guard. Then they make the Lillard trade. That's why I don't think the two guard really made sense for them for most of last year. But I think you at least have some young guy options that will compete for that spot. But you definitely want to bring them in competition. But I think with that 23 pick, it seems like Ware is going to be one of the best prospects to be on the board. And I just think that archetype is so rare. A true five who can really defend the five, not just a big guy who shoots but can't defend and shoots. Like, those are rare players in the league. They're really hard to find. I think you have to take that swing if Ware is there or if there's a big wing there. But then, you know, that doesn't really solve either problem. I just think you can't have enough of those players. And that P.J. Tucker role really hasn't been filled. The perfect four to make Giannis play at the five, like late to close playoff games. I think they could use one of those too.
Ty Windisch, Eurostep Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at T.I. Windisch. I have one last one for you. I don't know if you have the answer for it or not, but I'm assuming you do. Why do you think Beauchamp hasn't worked out?
Yeah, it's interesting. I thought I don't want to, you know, report or speculate too much. I thought he was in the doghouse, but then Doc kind of went out of his way after last season to clarify, like, he was injured like three times we practiced, and I pretty much just stuck with the rotation from the beginning of the season. I do think sometimes he struggles to play a true off-ball role. You know, he wants to have the ball, and I think that's just difficult on this team. You know, there's just not a lot of touches to go around when you have three, at least some caliber of star players, and Giannis, Middleton, and Dame. And I think it's the decision-making sometimes. You'll see a hesitation from him. And that's really the one thing you can't have with these off-ball wings. They need to make their decision quickly, whether they're going to pass, drive, or shoot. It has to happen pretty much right away. We saw Grayson Allen struggle with that in a bigger role in the playoffs for the Bucks. I think we see Beauchamp as well. I think Andre Jackson struggles with that. That's the difference between a young player and a vet. But I think physically, you know, I think Beauchamp has the tools. I think it's really about becoming even a more consistent shooter and just making those off-ball wing decisions quickly. I think he's got a good position, frankly, this summer to kind of prove that he does belong and fight for real minutes. You know, I think the rotation's thinning out as some of these vets age out. We'll see how many of them come back. We'll see who else they sign. But there's not that many assets or much room to add players. I do think this is his last chance coming into this season to really carve out that role and prove it. I think he's got the tools. I think it's all about consistency and putting them together. So it's really on him at this point, I think.
All right, Ty Windisch, tell everybody about not only the Eurostep podcast, but all the other fun stuff you have going on over there.
Yeah, GSPN.info. We're covering Bucks, Brewers, and Packers. Obviously, the Brewers ongoing, so that's been fun. You know, some Churio inside the park homer, really fun stuff there. But Bucks right now, we're in full draft mode, getting ready. And the Packers guys already had that a couple months ago, so they're kind of getting ready for the team in minicamp and on Love Watch. But for Bucks, we're deep diving the draft, and then we'll be doing free agency as well, pretty much in these next couple of days, because it all starts next week. So it's going to be a fast retooling period, and we can't wait to see what happens.
I lied. I have one other thing for you.
Go for it.
Did you see the Bronny James post?
Oh, boy.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't. I saw Rich Paul's comment. I don't know if I saw his post.
Bronny James' post was, all it was a picture. It was Luka. It was Kyrie. It was LeBron and Bronny. In Mavs uniforms.
As you mentioned, true size. He's almost 7 feet tall, 7'4" wingspan, has a good-looking jumper, moves well, block shots. I think there's some kind of just like motor and consistency concerns, but if you're the Bucks, you have all these long-time, you know, great presence vets on your team, you've got to feel good about taking that bet. So I would be thrilled if they drafted Ware.
I don't see how that motor doesn't pick up playing with Giannis on a day-to-day basis. Exactly. I can't see Giannis allowing you to loaf. I don't see that happening. The other guy that I really like, you know, and I like him more now that the rape allegations are gone, is Terrence Shannon Jr., the wing from Illinois. Now, prior to the verdict coming on this, every mock draft I saw, he was in the second round. Now he's cleared, which is good. And now here on the ESPN one, they have him going four picks later to Minnesota as well. Your thoughts on Terrence Shannon Jr.?
I haven't dug into him as much just because he was so much lower. I was thinking about him more as a second-round guy. I'm not totally sold that he would be my pick. I really want bigger player. Is he like around 6'5 or so, if I recall correctly?
Yeah, he's a shooting guard, small forward. I think he is, let me look here, 6'6", 225, according to ESPN.
Okay. Not bad. But I've been looking more at the bigger players in the draft and just, you know, watching these playoffs and knowing you have Lillard at the one. I really want, you know, larger players, athletes who can make up for that with the rebounding on the defensive end. Like we saw Andre Jackson did a little bit, and, you know, the struggles we've seen in this past season with like Beasley and Lillard, for example. So I am not totally sold on him yet in the first round. I will say in that ESPN mock, they ended up picking up Tyler Smith with their second-round pick, which I think is a knockout. I mean, he's a raw player. There's a lot of developing to do, but another true-size, true shooter, in my opinion, which I don't know if you can take enough swings on those guys, especially when you have your franchise player is not giving you the most spacing, of course, in terms of Giannis from three.
You pretty much answered my next question, which I was setting you up for, which is between Ware, and a shooting guard wing. Because Shannon can defend for sure. More of a scorer than maybe a shooter necessarily at the end of the day. I like Shannon a lot. And if Beasley is not coming back, which I don't think he is because he's going to get more money than what the Bucks can probably pay him, you're going to have to fill that two-guard position. And like you said, you need length next to Damian Lillard for certain to help defend. So whoever that is at that shooting guard position has to be somebody that can defend. Somebody has to be athletic. And I would love for it to be somebody to score too, if at all possible. But you have the aging Brook Lopez, and you have to figure that out. So where is the bigger need?
I think the bigger need is the two guard. I mean, I think you can get creative and plug-and-play lineups with any wing player in there with Chris and Giannis and play more with Giannis at the five. And I think Brook should still be a good player this next season. If there's not a trade, if he's not moved on from, like, you know, you have a center who you know can play well with this team, right? That doesn't exist at the two guard. And maybe, you know, maybe you're a big Andre Jackson believer.
No.
A Green believer.
No.
You know, whatever. Maybe you are. I think the most likely option is, you know, I think they take Winner if he's there. I think with your second round pick, with undrafted slots, with free agents, and maybe with other trades, then you just try and basically do what you did last year, which is make it a competition. Who's going to win that job? And I think Beasley won it pretty easily. I think we thought there would be more of a true competition, and there wasn't. But I think now you bring in the kind of players who complement Dame. Because remember, they built this roster to have Drew at point guard. Then they make the Lillard trade. That's why I don't think the two guard really made sense for them for most of last year. But I think you at least have some young guy options that will compete for that spot. But you definitely want to bring them in competition. But I think with that 23 pick, it seems like Ware is going to be one of the best prospects to be on the board. And I just think that archetype is so rare. A true five who can really defend the five, not just a big guy who shoots but can't defend and shoots. Like, those are rare players in the league. They're really hard to find. I think you have to take that swing if Ware is there or if there's a big wing there. But then, you know, that doesn't really solve either problem. I just think you can't have enough of those players. And that P.J. Tucker role really hasn't been filled. The perfect four to make Giannis play at the five, like late to close playoff games. I think they could use one of those too.
Ty Windisch, Euro Step Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at T.I. Windisch. I have one last one for you. I don't know if you have the answer for it or not, but I'm assuming you do. Why do you think Beauchamp hasn't worked out?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't want to, you know, report or speculate too much. I thought he was in the doghouse, but then Doc kind of went out of his way after last season to clarify, like, he was injured like three times we practiced, and I pretty much just stuck with the rotation from the beginning of the season. I do think sometimes he struggles to play a true off-ball role. You know, he wants to have the ball, and I think that's just difficult on this team. You know, there's just not a lot of touches to go around when you have three, at least some caliber of star players, and Giannis, Middleton, and Dame. And I think it's the decision-making sometimes. You'll see a hesitation from him. And that's really the one thing you can't have with these off-ball wings. They need to make their decision quickly, whether they're going to pass, drive, or shoot. It has to happen pretty much right away. We saw Grayson Allen struggle with that in a bigger role in the playoffs for the Bucks. I think we see Beauchamp as well. I think Andre Jackson struggles with that. That's the difference between a young player and a vet. But I think physically, you know, I think Beauchamp has the tools. I think it's really about becoming even a more consistent shooter and just making those off-ball wing decisions quickly. I think he's got a good position, frankly, this summer to kind of prove that he does belong and fight for real minutes. You know, I think the rotation's thinning out as some of these vets age out. We'll see how many of them come back. We'll see who else they sign. But there's not that many assets or much room to add players. I do think this is his last chance coming into this season to really carve out that role and prove it. I think he's got the tools. I think it's all about consistency and putting them together. So it's really on him at this point, I think.
All right, Ty Windisch, tell everybody about not only the Eurostep podcast, but all the other fun stuff you have going on over there.
Yeah, GSPN.info. We're covering Bucks, Brewers, and Packers. Obviously, the Brewers ongoing, so that's been fun. You know, some Churio inside the park homer, really fun stuff there. But Bucks right now, we're in full draft mode, getting ready. And the Packers guys already had that a couple of months ago. So they're kind of getting ready for the team in minicamp and on Love Watch. But for Bucks, we're deep diving the draft. And then we'll be doing free agency as well, pretty much in these next couple of days, because it all starts next week. So it's going to be a fast retooling period, and we can't wait to see what happens.
I lied. I have one other thing for you.
Go for it.
Did you see the Bronny James post?
Oh, boy.
Did you see it?
I saw Rich Paul's comment. I don't know if I saw his post.
Bronny James' post was all it was a picture. It was Luka, it was Kyrie, it was LeBron and Bronny in Mavs uniforms.
He posted that, really?
He sure did.
You know, we'll see. All right, we'll see. I think that would. I've been wondering, what would the Mavs make a big shakeup? That'd be a pretty big shakeup. I don't know if that's even remotely possible. I think this whole Bronny thing has made a silly NBA offseason cycle even sillier this year.
Yep.
And it's going to be very funny to see whoever picks him, frankly.
Remember LeBron talking about how he missed playing with Kyrie and he wished he was playing with Kyrie. Like, it makes all the sense in the world that would figure it themselves out.
It makes more sense if LeBron didn't catch too many finals games and change that opinion about Kyrie. But no, his affinity for him is definitely well documented.
No doubt. And Mark Cuban would spoil him to death. And we know that as well. He is Ty Windisch. Check out the Eurostep podcast and all this fun stuff over there with the Packers and Brewers as well. Follow him on Twitter at T.I. Windisch, WINDISCH. Ty Windisch. I'm telling you, you will love everything they do over there. They do a great job. Ty, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Sparky. Talk soon.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Ty Windisch, Eurostep podcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.